preserver. So, like, if I'm playing with a singer and it sounds like they lose their note, I'll, I'll give them a little, like, their starting note. You always give people what they need. So if it sounds like what he needs is a stable rhythm for a second, I'll give him that, and then I'll go back to all my weird stuff that I do, you know? And then, go for a Rob solo. Take a couple. Okay. Take a couple, yeah. Yeah, so it's tricky because you have to not only know the tune, but you have to be able to, have like choices on every single chord, and be able to voice lead this choice to that. It's like kind of a lot of, there's two ways that I figure out if I know a tune. One is transpose. A flat. Peter Bernstein told me, give it the A flat test. That's what he does. Just move it to A flat. He's like, I know A flat really well now. The other one that I do is interact with somebody else. So those two things are a good way to figure out, do you know this tune, or do you know it under your fingers? You know specific shapes under your muscle memory of the tune, or do you know the tune?
Yeah.
Right? So interaction, transposing. Sorry, my contact's getting super dry. It's totally worth it though for the AC. So take two.
Okay.
A one, two, a one, two, three, four. There's actually a 15 tension, believe it or not. So there's a 13, but in specific circumstances, Doesn't work all the time. But that's not a flat 9 on a major chord. That's a 15 tension. Anyway, that's...
And what is that? It's a flat 9?
It's a 15 tension. But it's equivalent to a flat 9. But it doesn't sound good down there. It works on a... I'll show you sometime on a Round Midnight.
Yeah. Right.
So that's a Richie Hart thing. Anyway, point that I'm digressing from is that... learning to comp for all these different circumstances is a really good thing to prepare for. So I used to prepare for 3 circumstances on this sort of a guitaristic thing. But you're 4 string. You were playing like chords and stuff. Oh man, I thought you were 5 string, man. Cool, nice. You're getting sound from that. So I used to prepare for if I'm gonna play the tune with chords. And a whole band, so I'm just playing the melody. I'm gonna comp for somebody playing the melody, and I'm gonna play the tune with just a bass. So, you know, Kenny Burrell's. So I'll transcribe other people's chord melodies and stuff. Getting prepared for all the different instrumental things that can happen. Now, in terms of how that, you know, is the bass equivalent, it's just thinking about, well, what would you do differently if there's no drums, right? If,
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No,
so,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
Julian
Lage said, I thought very brilliantly when he was talking about comping, and it really applies to all of jazz. Something I play should have something to do with what you play. So if what I play is exactly the same in these different circumstances or playing with different sounding bands, then we need to work on the ability to adapt.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's one of my biggest hurdles right now. It's like, as you just heard, it's like I'm just trying to get through the piece. So everything I'm playing is pretty basic.
Yeah, same thing all the way through.
It's very basic.
It's just
I like puns. Jazz musicians like puns. I've talked to a lot of jazz musicians about this, and their theory was basically that it's because it's dealing with language, and jazz is like language. Anyway, but I'm analyzing dad jokes, so that's probably... We'll move in a different direction. So basically, trying to adapt to different circumstances. One thing is play with different recordings of one tune. That's a really good way to go with it right there. So if you play one, I would recommend, even if it gives you a huge headache, to try to learn tunes by ear, because even if it takes you all afternoon, now that tune's with you.
Actually, that's how I grew up learning, is in just garage bands with my friends, and we didn't have any of this. We had the record.
Yeah, and when I'm working on, I do work on my reading sometimes. I got the Omni book, the book of all the Charlie Parker melodies and solos. So I'll bust that out to work on my sight reading. As soon as I put it away, I don't remember it, because it's kind of like riding with training wheels and then expecting that that's going to help you prepare to ride without them,
mm-hmm.
right? So when I'm actually trying to learn something, I try to go by ear. Now, even though it takes me much longer sometimes, that's the only way to build up repertoires of hundreds of tunes. I think I've talked trash about him twice, the sax player that I play with a lot, but I'm having to really break him of bringing the real book onto gigs, because he uses it, you know, and because he uses it when he's learning the tune, so that's why he's having such a tough time getting rid of it. Now, even if, consider this. When you go to play your solo, you need to really clearly audiate the changes. What I mean by audiate, you know, people just say hear, but that's not descriptive enough. What they mean is that you could, you know, close your ears and, never mind my phrasing, you could close your ears and actually play an entire solo of that tune in your head. Could you do that? Could you play in a way that actually... You know, can you really get around the changes inside your head? And I used to try to do this. I would learn a tune and then try to see if I could go on a walk And if I could actually go through the changes, playing a solo in my head that actually accurately depicted the changes. Now, do you think I would be able to do that if I picked up this chart and went, you know, but if I spend, you know, 2 hours listening to all these different versions, I can't help but play it in my head. Sorry, Mike.
So when you do that, are you thinking of every note? Are you just thinking of the line and you're not putting a label of a note?
Oh, in terms of actually knowing what those notes are.
You're thinking in your head.
And then you spend enough time transcribing on your thing, and then eventually it's, you know, it's just, sorry, I'm thinking about that West solo. You know, and on, and then I play a solo over and over again till I hear it, then I'll start fiddling with it, then I'll start fiddling with that tune. And then eventually I want to try to get, so there's no time in the, when we're really reacting, there's no time to go, oh, I'm hearing A flat, you know, and, right? You want to be, you know, you want to get so that that's what you're doing. Now, this
now,
is
a quick
gonna,
question. So with this tune, like the D minor 7 flat 5, okay, now I can play it here, but I don't have, like, what's the best way of learning different ways to you just sit down with a chord chart and just practice every single voicing of that, D minor 7
that's
five.
A very good question.
Minor
now,
7 flat 5, just, like, play them all over the, like.
I like to get, so I'll show you what I was doing in here yesterday with What'll I Do. All right, so I have this beautiful tune, which I love. So I like to find tunes that I really love, obviously. That's, you know, there's two categories of standards I learn. There's those that I feel responsible for. That's the list of shame thing. And then there's ones like this that I really love. Now, they both have a time and place. But what I like to do is, now, if I sit and get really in touch with how this tune feels to me, it's not a matter of, knowing all the different, you know, all the different C major chords. It's a matter of finding the ones that work for this one. Because if I learn this tune now, what'll I do when you are far away and I am so blue? What'll I do? Some stuff is going to technically work, but not be the color you want. So you have to really mess around with that. Now, one thing you have to do there is you have to get what you want out of life, first figure out what you want. So you have to get really in touch with the feel that you want to get and the vibe that you're trying to get. So that's why I like to pick tunes that are very personal, you know, and very, you know, because then I'll go, you know, that works, that doesn't work. And Peter Bernstein does the same thing with lines and with chords. It's like, that works here. That doesn't work here. That's the thing I'm trying to get. Yes, you do want to be able to go C major, you know, all
right,
over
like
the
you're
neck.
Saying, in this
yeah.
situation, or we're, and next week, then we'll have, or whatever next week we'll have, then we'll have the piano, and then we'll have two guitars, and then we'll have the clarinet, and now I'm doing something different and trying to fit in a different way. I need to be able to do the little pieces of the chords, the dyad. I feel like I need to have a better working knowledge of where all these chords are.
Yes.
I feel like, but I don't know how to do that. Like, I sit down and practice and it doesn't stick. Like, I don't know what to actually, what's step number one.
Now, this will help you on bass, too. Voice leading. So if I'm doing that tune, what'll I do? What you do is try to see if you can go.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan does that.
So check this out. So I'm trying to see if I can just pick a note from that chord and move up, and if I can find a voicing that go up, 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 then down, down, down. Mm. Now for bass, it could be for, you know, for There'll Never Be Another You. Now, have to, at a certain point, try to experiment with what you can get away with at certain points. If you want to really craft a line that doesn't go, you know, E flat in this box and now D minor in this box and D minor in this box, you have to mess around with, can I go, no, I'm in three because I'm thinking, what'll I do? Sorry, one, two, three, four. See, so I'm messing around with not always playing a one on the one. You know what I mean? Because I'm taking one to the chord. You know what I mean when I say that. So you have to figure out what you can get away with. Now, when you actually get really mastered on a particular tune, you're going to be in the heat of the battle, and you're going to be listening and going, oh, this is getting way out. Bring it back to a root.
Yeah.
Oh, this is getting, you know what I mean? So in the heat of the battle, actually get control of that. Now, it's really tough to get there. One thing to do is to find like specific like choruses of Walking Bass you like. If you don't have the wherewithal to transcribe them by ear yet, get transcriptions of it. Play it a bunch of times. When you play something that's actually, you know, like somebody's solo, somebody's walking bass, when you play that over and over again, like Peter Bernstein's solo, you know, I'll play that again and again because I'm telling my brain, play like this. When I let go, I want this to happen. So it makes sense if you're trying to get it so this comes out when I let go, you have to actually do that a lot, right? That seems like when I say, it's like one of those things when I say it out loud, it's like, oh yeah, duh. If you think about it, it's, we want to improvise. So what we do is we just improvise. But if you want a very specific sound to come out, then you actually want to take prepared other people's solos and play them a bunch of times because you're trying to build up that instinct. Same with like a long walking bass line. If you listen and go, oh man, Paul Chambers really rips that up.
You know, you're saying that, and that's exactly what I'm thinking. The one that I'm working on right now is his So What bass line, which is a
good one. That's a really good one. You know why Softly is in a Morning Sunrise? I have a transcription I could actually send you that I transcribed because Softly in a Morning Sunrise, the chords are 2-5, 1 minor, 2-5. So he uses all this, because it's so simple, 1-2-5, in just 16 bars, he shows all this different vocabulary because it's so simple. So he goes, this interesting thing, and then this thing. So instead of a tune that moves around in chords, all this stuff, where you'll just, it's like, oh, that's, you know, cool. You get to see all this variety of vocabulary because he has to give all his vocabulary to make it interesting.
And that'd be great, good too, because, you know, everybody says 2-5-1 is like all over the place in jazz. So,
and you're going to see he does weird stuff, though. That is, you know, that sort of violates the correct notes, you know, like he'll do stuff like on D minor 7.